Hello, teachers. Ben Jennings here, and we are on session number 7 in the Gospel of Matthew, our study in the Gospel of Matthew. It's going to actually take 2 quarters for us to get through this particular study in Matthew, and I'm pretty excited about it. Today's lesson covers like 3 narratives that are very similar in Matthew chapter 8 and then 9. It's 8:1-4, 8:14-17, and then 9:1-8. All of them highlight Jesus' authority, and you'll see that in each one of these narratives. They're all familiar narratives to us, but they all kind of point to Jesus's authority and how Jesus is using his authority to love people, to value people. I think that the editors of the Explore the Bible curriculum want to highlight the idea that this is going to be used on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. It's a Sunday that gets set aside by people across the country to talk about issues like abortion, pro-life issues, euthanasia, some of those kinds of things. And so we value life, and Jesus obviously valued life, and he valued people. And so this particular lesson goes over a couple of chapters or narratives from those chapters that talk about Jesus using his authority, his identity, his power to love people who weren't always loved in society. But really what it kind of causes in us is kind of 2 things. One, we're people who are loved by Jesus, and also we're people who are called to love like Jesus. And so you're going to see in this particular lesson applications towards both. So Christ's compassion and authority should compel you to put your faith in him. Consider 3 examples. The first example is his compassionate touch. We're going to see in 8:1-4, it says, "When he was coming down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.'" He's basically a leper, obviously, marginalized, disconnected from anybody else other than other lepers, physically in pain, dealing with a ton of problems. And he essentially calls Jesus Lord. He's heard about Jesus's healing ministry, obviously, at some level. And he's saying, if you want to, you can heal me. And I love this verse 3. "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be thou clean.' It says, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, 'Seest thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show us thyself to a priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." This is exactly what the Old Testament taught about when a leper thought that they were healed, they would have to go show a priest so that it can confirm that he's not just wishing it to be so, but hoping it to be so. You know, what's remarkable about Jesus and about this particular situation is Jesus himself. It's not really that when we say, okay, well, Jesus touched him. Yeah, that was pretty amazing. Jesus healed him. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. But really, when you think about, Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image. John chapter 1, where it says, all things were made by him, talking about the Word, which was made flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You have this understanding that Jesus, even in his incarnation, is the same person who created everything, and he's the same person, according to Colossians, who sustains everything. He was before all things, and by him all things consist. So when you see Jesus and know that Jesus is the one who created out of nothing, so what's astonishing about this particular text, obviously it's alarming that Jesus can heal when you compare Jesus to other people, because I can't heal, Damon can't heal. Anybody that's ever healed has done it because God allowed him to do that, and it's substantiated their message. But Jesus created everything in Genesis 1. Let us make man in our image. We see this hint that Jesus is part of the healing, that the Trinity was involved in that. In John chapter 1, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's John 1:14. He also says earlier, we know that the Word, this Word, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Colossians, talking about Jesus, He was before all things, and by Him all things consist or are held together. So Jesus created everything, and it's actually harder to create out of nothing, I would think, than it would be to heal what's already there. And so this is not astonishing that Jesus could heal. It's not really even astonishing that He would heal this leper, in the sense that He could do it, and that He could do it by touching him without actually getting sick. Of course, if Jesus can create and He can heal, then He can do this without getting sick. What's amazing is Jesus chose to heal a man that didn't deserve it, and He chose to do it in a way that communicated love, which would be by touching this man, and that becoming representative of how we ought to be as His followers. Jesus loves people. What wondrous love is this, that He would come and love the unlovely? And this leper is a representative of the unlovely, but truthfully, all of us are unlovely. Maybe not necessarily physically, although I'm in the unlovely category when it comes to the physical, but the picture here is someone who no one else would touch, and He touched them, and He healed them, and He did it in a way that communicated compassion and love. So I think that's an amazing thing. We also see, number two, the example of His compassionate presence. It's kind of this next section is part of the narrative that actually happened, but it's kind of a summary of the kind of thing that would go on in Jesus' ministry. In verse 14, it says, this is chapter 8, verse 14, "And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, He saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever." Of course, so Peter was married. That's an indication for some theologically differences, different people than for me. But anyway, verse 15, "And He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." Do you see that immediate? In the first one, there's the immediate leprosy gone. Here's there's immediate, like she goes from down, laying down, and to like immediately rising up. Pretty amazing. "When evening was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirit with His word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." You see here Jesus just being a presence. He's there, and people are coming to Him, and he's healing them. He's helping them. And you see in this His identity and His authority, because He's able to do it, and He's doing it in a way that fulfills prophecy. Pretty amazing. So you see His compassionate touch, His compassionate presence. Then number three, we see His compassionate forgiveness. We see this is in verses 1 through 8 of chapter 9. It says, "And He entered into a ship and passed over, came to His own city. And behold, they brought Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, The man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven to thee, or to say, Arise and walk?" Well, which one's easier, right? To say, "Hey, your sins are forgiven." Well, that's in invisible. It's not a falsifiable claim. Well, I forgave his sin, so he's good. Well, yeah, how do I know? Well, because I said so. But if I say, hey, get up out of your bed and walk, when you've been handicapped your whole life and everybody knows you to be handicapped, either the man does that or he doesn't. And so essentially Jesus says, so you know that I have the authority to do what is invisible. I'm going to exert my authority over what's visible. That's what he literally says here. Verse 6, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go into thine house. So what happens? Verse 7, and he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Here you have Jesus showing not only a compassion about physical problems, but now we're getting into spiritual problems and wanting people to know that forgiveness of sin is available and it's offered in the person, the compassionate person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is still compassionate. He doesn't always heal every person that asks to be healed. But every person that believes on him, no matter what they're dealing with, will be healed. They may not be healed in this life, but they'll be healed in the next. He is a compassionate presence. He wants what's best. And all of that comes at the ultimate thing. It's one thing to heal us from our physical problems, but it's another thing to solve our spiritual death, our sin that leads to death, and the forgiveness that comes and the life that comes by putting your faith and trust in the person of Jesus. And so, yeah, Christ's compassion authority should compel us to exercise our faith in him, to put our faith in him. We see that in responding to his compassionate touch, his compassionate presence, and his compassionate forgiveness. I hope this helped you study through session number 8, and I hope that this helps you have a great lesson on Sunday. Thanks.